This time on Compassion Radio.
The thing that has changed me the most in traveling and in experiencing other cultures and other people is the reality that my world is extremely small. My little world is extremely small. In other words, the world itself is massively huge, and the diversity and the need and the plight that's there is immense. And when you see all of that, you realize, wow, my little sphere is pretty minuscule compared to the grandeur of what's really taking place globally.
When we take a look at creation and we see millions of different species along with magnificent multicolored plants and trees, it becomes pretty obvious that God loves diversity. Well, recently, Bram connected with Brian Grisham of Word of God Ministries in Shreveport, Louisiana. Brian says that God wants his church to reflect his love for diversity as well. I'm Frank Montenegro, inviting you to stay with us for part one of this very timely and important conversation. Here's Bram.
On Compassion Radio, it is always a joy for me to introduce new friends to our listeners and our partners out there, especially when they're old friends to me. Brian Grisham at Word of God Ministries in Shreveport, Louisiana. Welcome to Compassion Radio.
Hello, Bram. It's great to hear your voice again.
Now, you and I go back a long way. Over the years, we know a lot of people that were doing some incredible things for the kingdom back through the 80s and the 90s.
Absolutely. And the miracle of modern technology with social media has just allowed me, and I'm sure you would say the same, to just reconnect with hundreds of people that at one time, you know, had sort of drifted out of our lives because that particular ministry season was over and we went on to other things. But now it's great to see what people are doing, and that's actually kind of what precipitated this conversation.
The kind of people that you and I ran with during that time are not the kind of people to shy away from a challenge. And they're the kind of people that are even today stepping into incredible ministry opportunities and encouraging others to be brave. And I'm going to ask you about a story today about your ministry, which everything about this story, everything about your current ministry says to me, brave.
Yeah, I agree. We started our global ministry about 3.5 years ago at a really active church, a very diverse church, and they had a longing to really fulfill the Great Commission, which is, you know, to start in our Jerusalem, and that represents people that are near to us geographically and relationally, and then expand to Judea and Samaria, which would have represented people who were near geographically, but very distant relationally.
And culturally.
And then ultimately to the ends of the earth, which would represent people who are distant geographically and distant culturally or relationally. There was an understanding from the Word that that was something that the local congregation was supposed to be doing, but there wasn't someone here to facilitate it. And so it's my honor and joy to have assumed that role and getting this started, and we're just seeing some great things take place.
I want to pause for a second and just remind ourselves that it's important for us to contemplate, to dwell on this one fact, that the Great Commission is no longer a metaphor. It is literally possible to do all these things in all these places in our lifetime. And the people that we work with are actually taking that literal challenge. And you, as a local congregation, are engaging on world scope ministry. And Word of God Ministries there in Shreveport, Louisiana, of all places, has become a real fountainhead of some very aggressive, in the positive sense, outreach to people with great love and compassion and great cross-cultural sensitivities. So tell me just a little bit about the Word of God Church there in Shreveport and why it's so unique in the world of Christian churches here in America.
Absolutely. It is a unique church, primarily because it is a truly racially diverse church. There are many churches, and I don't say this in a judgmental way, but there are many churches that will have, you know, a handful of people from a different race, and they will say, well, we're multicultural. And I'm not, again, I'm not being judgmental about that, but at our church, we're about 50% African-American, 30% white, and then the balance is Hispanic and Asian. Yeah. So it's truly a multiracial church with significant representation from all of those main groups that I mentioned. And what's unique, you know, for any of our listeners that are familiar with the southern states within our country, Louisiana has historically been an extremely racially divided state. And I don't say that with pride. I'm from Louisiana, so I can speak to that. It's not something that I'm proud of, but it is a reality, and we can't be blind to it. And so for us to be experiencing such an active ministry here in Shreveport, which is right in the heart of that historically racially divided section, to see this type of diversity coming together, young, old, black, white, rich, poor, Asian, Hispanic, educated, you know, not so educated, that whole conglomerate comes here every Sunday and every Wednesday, and it's exciting to see that.
Now, you are a dyed-in-the-wool white Louisianan, so everything about you, Brian, should have, culturally speaking, been shaped by your racial identity. Yet you stepped out of what God had for you in ministry, and your church sent you out when you were a kid to go discover what God had for you in the world and what God was really doing in the world. When you did, you came back with a whole different view of what's possible and what's necessary to live the Christian life effectively and holy, holy in the sense of both set apart and holy in the sense of being complete.
Right.
You learned that by actually engaging in missions and going to people and learning from them, not just taking something to them, but learning what God's doing in people's lives around the world of many stripes, of many cultures, of many races. And you brought back a renewed sensitivity and passion for the Word of God because of that. And I'm very proud of you, Brian, for stepping across and making a life's mission for you and your family to engage the real questions of the time that God has for this country in this culture. And from the last stand of the Confederacy there in Shreveport, Louisiana, you're building something that's truly kingdom worthy. And I want to celebrate that for you in front of our witnesses out there, that God's doing great things in the entire community, not just that you're coming together, but that you're living together in the body.
Right.
There, right in the heart of the Confederacy homeland in Shreveport, Louisiana. This is a beautiful, beautiful thing I'm hearing about.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Up next, more great insight on what it means to truly love God's people.
Friends, since 1999, Compassion Radio and its partners, that means you, have been doing something extraordinary. We've reached out in very practical ways to save the lives of abandoned babies in South Africa. Now, there are orphanages all over the world. Why this one? Well, because of a singularly amazing family and a marvelous transformational idea. And the idea was this: make it easier to save a life than to waste a life. Well, on the surface, that sounds like a ridiculous mission statement. But consider this. At the end of the 20th century, at the height of the AIDS crisis in South Africa, dozens of babies were being abandoned by mothers with no hope each and every month. Being infected and outcast, often addicted to drugs and unable to afford to care for their newborn, and facing arrest if they tried to give up their babies to authorities, the desperate took desperate measures. They were convinced their babies would die anyway. Until, that is, the Berea Baptist Church and the Allen family made that radical statement and did something about the crisis. Since the day they cut a hole in their church wall and put an incubator in it, they've rescued thousands of infants from certain death. No longer would a hopeless mother have to add murder to her burden of guilt. You, friends, had compassion on both mother and child through your generous giving. I'm asking you again for it now. The reason is obvious. There's still a need. And the work of Door of Hope keeps getting better. The new Hope Village is under construction, and when it's done, hundreds of kids not adopted will be raised in family groups in a nurturing community with its own playgrounds, church, elementary, and trade schools. Door of Hope showed us how to save a life once. Now they're showing us how to save lives time and time again, and as a result, saving generations. Will you give generously this year? It's our 20th anniversary of this project. And here's the best part. One of our generous Compassion Radio partners is providing a special matching challenge grant. If you give, they will match your gift, but only during the current month. $4,000 has been set aside for this special matching grant for the month of February. I'm asking you to make sure that every dime of that challenge grant is at least doubled or multiplied many times over. So give today. Here are four ways you can do just that. Call 1-800-868-2478. Or go online to CompassionRadio.com right now to make your gift. Or send your gift by mail to Compassion Radio, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And lastly, and maybe best of all, you can donate in under a minute by simply texting KIDS to 53445. Thank you, friends, for helping Door of Hope save a whole new generation of precious children with your generous gift today.
celebrating 75 years in Christian broadcasting. This is Compassion Radio.
Now, you are a dyed-in-the-wool white Louisianan, so everything about you, Brian, should have, culturally speaking, been shaped by your racial identity. Yet you stepped out of what God had for you in ministry, and your church sent you out when you were a kid to go discover what God had for you in the world and what God was really doing in the world. When you did, you came back with a whole different view of what's possible and what's necessary to live the Christian life effectively and wholly, holy in the sense of both set apart and holy in the sense of being complete.
Right.
You learned that by actually engaging in missions and going to people and learning from them, not just taking something to them, but learning what God's doing in people's lives around the world of many stripes, of many cultures, of many races. And you brought back a renewed sensitivity and passion for the Word of God because of that. And I'm very proud of you, Brian, for stepping across and making a life's mission for you and your family to engage the real questions of the time that God has for this country in this culture. And from the last stand of the Confederacy there in Shreveport, Louisiana, you're building something that's truly kingdom worthy. And I want to celebrate that for you in front of our witnesses out there, that God's doing great things in the entire community, not just that you're coming together, but that you're living together in the body.
Right.
There, right in the heart of the Confederacy homeland in Shreveport, Louisiana. This is a beautiful, beautiful thing I'm hearing about.
It really is unique, and it does go back, Bram, you're right, to when I was, you know, just a teen and went on my first mission trip. And then that ultimately led to the ministry that you and I were involved in for several years, which took me even further. And by God's providence, I've been able to continue in that type of pattern of ministry for now almost 30 years. And the thing that has changed me the most in traveling and in experiencing other cultures and other people is the reality that my world is extremely small. My little world is extremely small. In other words, the world itself is massively huge, and the diversity and the need and the plight that's there is immense. Mm-hmm. And when you see all of that, you realize, wow, my little sphere is pretty minuscule compared to the grandeur of what's really taking place globally. That would not only be spiritually, but economically and politically and with regard to humanitarian efforts. So it's across the board.
Yeah.
But you just realize how massive the need is and how massive this place is, and it brings tremendous perspective.
And we talk about need, massive as it might be, we're talking in different spheres of influence, too. I mean, there are those that focus strictly on the humanitarian side of things and human development. There are others that think in terms of economics or education, about the sheer numbers of people that live on the planet. Then there are those who think in terms of kingdom ethics. What does the kingdom of God in this generation responsible to do, and how do we go about living it, and how is that Great Commission thing going to be accomplished? And again, we're not talking about a Great Commission which says, go and see, or go and do. We're told to go and bring the gospel to every culture, every language on this planet, so they can receive that gift if they want to receive it. It doesn't mean that we're going to win everybody, but the Great Commission does promise us that if we will go, we will give freely from ourselves and bring the gospel to them. There will be some who will receive it, and that we will be able to make disciples of every tongue, every language, every tribe on earth. That's a great promise.
That's right.
So you've gone and done. So tell me a little bit about how you stepped away from traditional ministry, joined the fellowship there at Word of God in Shreveport, and decided to help them bring focus and purpose and a strategy to being a missional church.
Yeah, you know, I had been serving at a church in Shreveport for quite a long time. It was a mainline denominational church, and I was doing worship primarily with a little bit of missions on the side, because that's always been my heartbeat. It was a great church. It is a great church, and I really was blessed by the ministry that my wife Leanne and I had there for many years, almost 20 years, in fact. But here now, 4 or 5 years ago, I really felt the Holy Spirit speak so clearly to me and say, I've got something that's different and new for you that's going to stretch you, and I'm going to do more through you than I've done so far. But you're going to have to walk away from your comfort zone without any type of a safety net.
Yeah.
And that was obviously an instruction that I took a little time to confirm in my spirit, because at 47 years old, at that time, who does that? I mean, who leaves a 20-year church with, you know, two teenagers and a mortgage? You know, and Cardinals, nobody does this, at least nobody in their right mind.
Yeah.
But it became so evident in my spirit that it was indeed God's direction for me. And so without any place to go, Leanne and I just resigned. We just stepped away. And it was miraculous to see over about a five-month period, which ensued, how God met our needs. We never went without anything that was necessary. We paid all our bills. We didn't go into debt. It was just a tremendous season of God providing, and it culminated with an introduction to Word of God Ministries through a mutual friend who was serving on this staff.
Okay, Brian,
10-second
rewind here. The calling you had was not to go to something. It was to step away from something.
Absolutely.
That was something that was good. So what you were called to do was not rational.
Exactly.
But God called you to it anyway. So you obeyed him in that.
Yeah.
Tell me what that obedience felt like to you and Leanne at the time.
You know, I think that we understood for the very first time the phrase that all of our listeners will know, and it is the phrase, give us this day our daily bread, which, of course, comes from the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
I think we had said that phrase for our entire lives, learned it as children, but I don't think we ever truly understood what it meant until we literally had to depend on God every day for what we needed simply for that one day.
Yeah.
And you know what's interesting, Bram, you don't have to have the same amount of provision on every day.
No,
some days you don't need anything at all because there's food in the pantry, there's gas in the car, no expenses to be due. And then other days, when the house note comes, you need a lot. And so it was miraculous, almost comical at times, the way that God would so gracefully bring resources to us at just the right time. And it was extremely confirming to our faith that we had indeed done the right thing, which, as you said, it was extremely unconventional.
Yes.
And even scoffed at by some people who were not necessarily thinking kingdom-minded, but thinking more denominationally minded.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was very confirming to our faith to know that we had done what God said, and he was confirming that by meeting our needs until the point where we entered into the next season of ministry, which is now at Word of God.
We were just reading in our devotions this morning about the history that Hebrews gives us about Moses leading the faithful and the unfaithful through the desert, that the entire time that they had a daily need, there was a pillar of fire and smoke, and there was manna on the ground every morning.
Yep.
Until the time that God calls us into our rest, and we being the church, being called to some place where we're now home. Now, the Israelites understood they were entering into the promised land. The promise had been fulfilled now. They were to go take it. At that moment, those daily provisions in that prayer evaporated.
Right.
Because God has something else and something new.
That's right.
So you're telling me that you and Leanne went through that very phase of life.
We did, because we were coming from a place where we were very comfortable. We had been there for quite a long time. The ministry was going well. And we entered into a season where there was no provision. In many instances, when a pastor will leave a church to go to another church, there's a severance package or there's a love offering that will sort of bridge the gap between now and when your family gets transitioned. Well, because we chose to resign without a place to go, that wasn't something that was granted to us.
Right.
At first, I was a little troubled by that because in my flesh, I thought, you know, I mean, I've given 2 decades here, and yes, I'm choosing to step away. You've not asked me to leave, and I've not been called to another church yet, but there is something coming. Why would you withhold that? And the minute I thought that, the Holy Spirit reminded me what God had said to me. I've got something new and something that's going to be bigger and better, but you've got to walk away from your comfort zone without a safety net.
Yeah.
And see, if the church would have given 2 or 3 months salary, which is customary when a pastor leaves, if they would have given that to me, I would have had a safety net. And I wouldn't have truly fulfilled exactly what God had told me to do.
And you pray differently when you have daily needs, don't you?
Oh, you do. You sure do.
I don't want to dwell on it too long, but it's an interesting phase. I've talked to many other incredible leaders, Brian, over the years who have gone through this very season. God says, go into the wilderness with me. I'll bring you to a promised land, but I have to be the one to choose it for you. And we have to go through this,
right.
this Negev together.
Right.
And so you do those things. And now you've arrived at a place where the door was not open at the time that the other one closed for you. You followed the Lord in the wilderness. And then something happened which was unexpected for you. You got an invitation right there in your Jerusalem to come over to Word of God Ministries.
That's right. Exactly.
What's the big difference for you now in the work that you do with Word of God than what you expected you would be doing by leaving your previous position?
Well, the primary thing is I don't do much with worship anymore at this church.
And that was your life.
That was my bread and butter. I mean, that's how you and I met, and Leanne and Sandy, and you know, we all started in that together, and it was missional, yes, but you of all people know that it was music at its core.
Yeah.
And that's what shaped my education and my skill set. It's what positioned me to become a worship pastor in some wonderful churches through the years. When I stepped away from that, I was not sure. Am I going to another church in worship or something totally different? And now we've got a phenomenal worship ministry here that was already in existence before I came. They didn't need another worship pastor, but they didn't have anything going in missions and outreach.
Yeah.
There was an understanding from the Word that it needed to be a strong component of the local congregation, but they just didn't have a facilitator at that time.
If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, well, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, go ahead and take a few minutes to find out more about this ministry. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast has been a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the important work that God is doing through this ministry. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener supported, and that means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can visit CompassionRadio.com, and when you're there, just click the donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to make your giving super easy, well, you can just text the word compassion to 53445. That's the word compassion, C-O-M-P-A-S-S-I-O-N, to 53445. And of course, you can always write us at Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, it's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. We are very, very thankful for you. Please be sure to join us again next time for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.
Hello, friends. This is Bram Floria, president of Compassion Radio. Everything we do is done with the intent to build you up in the Christian faith and to give you opportunities to help build the kingdom around the world. All through the month of March, we have the great privilege of celebrating our 75th anniversary. It's hard to believe that this unique radio ministry has been on the air for 75 years. Even more amazing, Compassion Radio is the only completely listener-supported radio program on the air this long. We are not funded by a huge church organization or wealthy benefactor. You are our church, our sending agency, and our partners. I know that God has been working through you to make it possible for us to do this work each and every day. Right now, I want to offer you a special opportunity. If this broadcast has ever challenged you in your faith, inspired you to serve, or encouraged you in any way to do better in your walk with God, please let us know right now by supporting this daily radio ministry and the international mission projects of Compassion Radio with your prayers and with your financial support. Please, friends, reach out today to show us that support as we celebrate 75 years of broadcasting a message of hope found in Christ alone. If you're able to invest with a one-time or better yet, a regular monthly gift, it will go a long, long way to making sure we remain on the air for another 75 years. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click the donate button at the top. Again, our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478, and our website is CompassionRadio.com. And new for this year, you can give right through your phone. Just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. A final word about our current Door of Hope project. This month's special matching grant of $4,000 is well underway, so please get a hold of us right away to make sure we meet that goal this month. Thanks so much for your prayerful consideration. We hope to hear from you soon.